Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in today. Happy, beautiful springtime Monday to you. I am broadcasting live from the Focus on the Family studios. We're out in beautiful Colorado Springs, and I'm so excited to have my girlfriend, Erin Smalley, join me today. We're talking about cultivating drama-free friendships. We're going to get into that conversation in just a moment, but I have a couple of things I want to let you know about. Next Thursday is our Mother's Day tribute show, and I'm actually going to have my mom in studio with me. We're going to take your calls as you pay tribute to your mom or a mom figure in your life, and we're going to give away two wonderful gift baskets of goodies. But if you want to care to write that thing down and write out your tribute, go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and look at the writer's contest entry, all right? You can write it in there, and you have a twofold chance of winning. One, you may get a gift basket for yourself, which you can give to your mom or keep. And if you win, we're going to send you to a writer's conference, which is about $1,000 value. So you want to get in on that. Get on right away, because we'll be announcing the Mother's Day winners next Thursday. But you've got a couple weeks in addition if you want to really take this writer's contest seriously. Maybe you've had a dream of getting published. You've got an 800-word or less essay, and you have to begin it with this phrase, "Looking back, I now realize." And it can be a fiction piece or a nonfiction piece, but this is a chance for you to try your chops at writing, okay? So check it out on our website, myfaithradio.com. So back to our topic now. Do you think it's possible to cultivate drama-free friendships? I asked that question on Facebook, and in a short amount of time, we had 87 posts already. So I am excited to talk to my friend Erin Smalley about this. Let me give you a proper introduction of our guest today, and we'll get this conversation started. Erin Smalley is a program director for Focus on the Family. She holds a master's degree in clinical psychology, and she works with her husband, Dr. Greg Smalley, doing marriage intensives and teaching on marriage and parenting. Her books include Grown Up Girlfriends and Before You Plan Your Wedding, Plan Your Marriage. And she and Greg live in Colorado with their children, Taylor, Murphy, Garrison, and Annie. And you can learn more about them on the web at smalleymarriage.com. Erin, so good to have you with us today.
It is always a pleasure. I'm glad to be sitting right here by you.
It's so fun, isn't it?
It is so fun.
We might get distracted and talk and forget we're on the radio, so you'll have to keep each other on track,
right?
It's
just how it goes. We just need a little cup of coffee and
that's right.
A cup of tea, and we're good to go.
Yeah, and we want it to feel like that today, just a girlfriend conversation. And so I asked you to come up with four components that you think would, comprise a drama-free friendship. And I came up with four on my own. And we're going to dig into those one at a time. And then we asked on Facebook, and there were some great insights there.
Mm-hmm, there sure were.
And so we like to start out all conversations talking scripture. And wondering if there's a verse that the Lord's been speaking to you about these days, or you have a life verse that you want to share. Is there anything in your heart that way?
You know, one of my very favorite verses is Ephesians 4:14-16, and it talks about that we're growing up in the Lord, that there's no prolonged infancies, we'll not tolerate babes in the wood. And then it goes on to say God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything, that we need to take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love.
That's excellent. Talk about that, why that verse speaks to you so much.
Through the years, as you continue to grow and mature and age, unfortunately, I guess wisdom comes with that, that comes through growing in the Lord, that it's not always easy. It's not always how we would choose it, but it is all for His good and His glory, and for Him to be more of a reflection through us.
Yeah. You know, when you think about in James, I've been thinking about, consider it all joy, my brothers and my sisters, when you encounter trials of various kind, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance must have its work so that we can be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. How do you consider it all joy when you're enduring trials? But if we can step back and go, this is completing a work in me that sturdies me, that will make me more useful to others. Don't you think that makes it even easier, at least, to endure some of the battles, because there's a goal that we're growing up in Christ?
Absolutely. And typically, don't you think as a woman, often those experiences come through relationships?
Very much.
Either through our marriage, or through a friend, or through a family member, or through a child. And it's not only doing a work in you, it's doing a work in them.
Mm.
And that you have to let God do his thing in them as well. But then to recognize, too, he's using it in your life to mature you, to grow you, ultimately for his glory.
Boy, I love what you just said, because that takes a real measure of humility and a release, because we want to control our lives. We want to control the people's, you know, behaviors, and we want to control the outcome, and we just can't. And I think as you get older, you get a little wiser, where you hold things more with an open hand, and you let people have their process.
Absolutely. And in telling the Lord, I release this friendship to you. I release my child to you. I release my marriage to you, and letting God just do what he does. I don't even know how he does it, but he does.
He sure does.
He heals, he grows, he strengthens, and then he comforts. He's there with us through our trials, just like he was, I think, of Joseph back in Genesis, that when he was in prison for the years and years and years, that God was with him and he gave him favor. Even through those dark, dark days, he was with him and he brought him favor.
And something beautiful comes out of this if we can embrace it and learn not to be afraid of some of the conflicts and trials that come. Well, I'm talking to Erin Smalley today here at Focus on the Family Studios. We're talking about cultivating drama-free friendships. We've got a couple copies of her amazing book, Grown Up Girlfriends, Finding and Keeping Real Friends in the Real World, and a couple copies of my book, The Uncommon Woman. Maybe you've got a question today. Otherwise, my question for you is, what would you say are the top three components for cultivating drama-free friendships? Do you even think it's possible? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. When I first asked you about doing this show, you laughed because we both went, is that possible, really?
Yeah. Well, but especially I think the day you emailed me, I said, you know, I'm feeling rather dramatic today, so I don't know.
What's that like?
I know. I'm sure all the women listening understand that, you know, that we have those days where we are just dramatic.
Right.
As we were created with emotions and, you know, highs and lows and ups and downs and hormones that surge different times during the month. And really that we do have those days that we are dramatic. And just recognizing it and calling it what it is.
Absolutely. And that's why we want to make a distinction here between drama-free and conflict-free. They're two different things. Even the most mature friendships will have some kind of conflict. Drama, which we're talking about, is just marked by drama, where it just seems like there's a high offendability, a high level of insecurity, a low level of maturity, those kinds of things. So that's just to be clear, that's what we're talking about.
Yes, and I often interchange the word drama with destructive, because when you, what you just described, a long-term pattern of, you know, hurt feelings and easily offended and lack of communication and not respecting boundaries truly becomes destructive at some point.
Absolutely.
And really, to destructive is defined as to ruin thoroughly, to spoil, to tear down, or to break up.
And so let's look at that, because you see drama in preschool, you see it in the on the playground in grade school, and you see drama in junior high, senior high, college age. And I would say it's a rarity for young women to try to find this. I think it's possible, but I think it's a rarity. But if there's anything we can do to equip younger women to say these components, look for and possess in yourselves. But what I think is sad, Erin, is when you start to see 30-somethings, 40-somethings not growing up, Christian women still gossiping, still cultivating insecurity and pettiness and territorialism.
Yes.
It's just, to me, it diminishes something, because maturity should be having its work in you by now.
Yes.
You know? And so do you want to add to that?
Well, I was going to say, so often, I think I talked about this last time I was on your show, that really we learn these coping mechanisms in junior high and we try to apply them to our adult relationships, and it's destructive. It doesn't work. But yet to become aware that this is what I did in junior high and this is what I learned through these relationships, then how do I fast forward and mature over those experiences to, you know, voila, I'm an adult and interacting with adult women. How do I do that differently than back in junior high?
That's so good. So, again, I asked Erin to come up with four components for cultivating a drama-free. We would not compare notes, so we might have exactly the same list, which would be kind of cool.
So we'll see. It'll be a mystery.
Until
it's revealed.
Let's hear your first one.
First one was to recognize that we all have drama and destructive tendencies.
Because
it's really hard to look at someone and say, you're so, this is such a destructive relationship, when we realize that we have the same capability and ability to hurt, to injure, to be destructive, to be dramatic, that we are just as capable of that as someone else. Because isn't it the truth, so often when we have a friendship and it's, you know, typically it doesn't go south right away because we're drawn to someone for a reason, and it's like dating. We put our best foot forward.
Good point.
And then as we become more intimate in the relationship, there's more likely to be conflict and disagreement and hurt. And that's when the drama can intensify and the best foot forward isn't there anymore because we're a little bit more comfortable. And just realizing that in those relationships, it's not all about the other person. Mm-hmm. We want to focus on what they've done to hurt us, what behavior we've seen, what drama they brought to the picture. But, you know, in many ways, it's to turn the mirror around and say, what am I bringing to this relationship? Mm-hmm. How am I impacting this relationship? Because we're capable of doing that. Mm. Proverbs 18:24 says, there are friends that destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother.
That's good. That's excellent.
So it's important to recognize that we can be that friend.
So we have the capacity. It kind of goes back to the whole plank in your eye, and to be humble and teachable enough to go, there but for the grace of God, go I, right? So my first one was a fear of the Lord, that would be a first and foremost component. And I've brought this verse up before on the show. I love it. Psalm 119:74, may all who fear you find in me a cause for joy, for I've put my trust in you. And I don't come upon this lightly because I think friends, as we've talked about, can be the greatest blessing, but also a source of great pain. In fact, I received an email just today from a woman who's like, this, I don't have friends. It's such an area of deep pain and loneliness. And others who said, I've been hurt, been there, done that, not doing it again. And so I want you to hear me today. We are not coming upon this topic lightly, but we feel like if it's done right with some maturity and with some godly wisdom, it can be a great anchoring strength. So when I say fear the Lord, I'm saying above all, you know, the people that I want to surround myself with are people who fear God, who even more than want my approval or, you know, because I don't even think loyalty in a friendship is even enough to hold you, because if that friend bothers you, then you can become disloyal on a dime. Where if you fear God, you could say, okay, what you did just now hurt me or bugged me or whatever, but I fear God enough to know that what I sow is what I grow. And so if I plant some seeds that are rotten seeds, it's going to bear a rotten harvest. And so the women that I have in my life right now, I'd say my four core friends, some are older, some are the same age as me, fear God. And so I know they keep a very short leash on any kind of attitude. So that's not to say drama doesn't happen in their life because somebody's life is turned upside down by a family issue or we get, you know, bothered by each other. But there's such a deep fear of God that we can come to each other with the assumption and the knowledge that you are so serious about your walk with God that you want nothing more than to grow up in Him. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's a key component.
Absolutely. And it's just so true that when you are fearing the Lord and you're in His Word and you're growing in Him, your heart is impacted. Mm-hmm. And when you come to the table with a heart that's growing healthy seeds, then that's what's going to come out because it's out of the overflow of your heart that comes out.
Yeah.
And so it's so true that when you are in relationship with someone who is seeking the Lord, that it's going to have a major, major impact. And especially when two people are doing that.
Yeah. And they're going to hold you accountable too, because if you start to, the wheels start to come off of your faith life, or you start just getting an attitude and wanting to talk about someone else, they fear God enough for themselves and for you and for the friendship to go, whoa, wait a minute here. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm saying, that I don't even think loyalty and friendship is enough to hold you because we are fallen people with fallen natures. Mm-hmm. But the fear of God to me is that the life of God in Christ Jesus that sets us up. You know, I once heard somebody say that gravity, you know, will always, gravity pulls you down. So whatever that thing weighs, gravity pulls it down, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but like a bird weighs more than the air, but the wings help it to defy gravity. And this theologian said, that's the life of Christ in us. It's the Spirit of God in us that lifts us above the weight of gravity of sin and death. It's the life of freedom in Christ Jesus. And I love that. So our nature would be to pull us down and to be selfish and be bent towards ourselves. But the fear of God in us would say, there's something so much deeper at work here than even that we agree all the time, or that you're doing everything my way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just think that's a powerful thing to see in a woman, that she's like, whether you're watching or not, I'm going to cultivate a deep walk with the Lord.
So. And I think with that brings humility.
Yeah.
In a ability to receive then when your friend comes to you and says, listen, this is what you did. This is what you said. And it impacted me. You know, I don't know what to make of it. You're more willing to receive that and to let it penetrate your heart and let it grow you.
Yeah.
I love this quote. Friendships are a means by which God fulfills His good purposes in our lives, even when it hurts or is uncomfortable.
Say that again. That's excellent.
Friendships are a means by which God fulfills his good purposes in our lives, even when it hurts or is uncomfortable.
Oh, that's so good.
And when you have a godly friend coming to you in love, that is when he can do his thing.
That's right.
And reach his purposes in your heart and in hers.
Mm-hmm. I love that. As we're talking, just it's sort of, you know, taking shape in my mind that, again, loyalty is a virtue and it's a good thing. But if it's just loyalty and it's not grounded in the fear of the Lord, doesn't that sometimes even become exclusionary, where it's like, I'm so loyal to you that I'm going to protect you at all? I mean, I want to have, you know what I'm saying? I want to have each other's back. But integrity would say, I'm loyal to you, but if you're out of line here with that person, it's not all about having your back. Sometimes it's about calling you, saying the way you treated her wasn't right. I love you so much. I do have your back. But so there's something deeper at work. So anyway, what's number two for you?
Number two was to recognize when we are in a relationship that is destructive or dramatic, just to recognize it for what it is. Psalm 55, 12 through 13, it is not an enemy who taunts me and can bear that. It is not my foes who are so arrogantly insulting me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion, and close friend. And that often we lose perspective when we are kind of like what you're saying, when you're in this deep friendship. And if you're having loyalty at all costs, sometimes we lose that perspective, that to step back and really, you know, take the whole scenario in, that this relationship has become a mesh. This relationship is, you know, distancing for some
reason. Almost, you know?
There's something going on here. And often that is an indication that we walk away from the friendship, we walk away from spending time with them, and we feel confused. We're not quite sure what just happened in this interaction. And I'm not talking about a one-time experience. I'm talking about a repeated pattern. So over time, because there are going to be issues in our intimate friendships. Like you said, it's not conflict-free or even drama-free. It's just that
marked by drama.
Right.
Yeah.
There's this repeated pattern that is repeated over and over again. And sometimes we lose sight of what is really going on. And so if we step back and just recognize this relationship, it has become destructive, and then pray, ask the Lord, what would you want me to do? You know, is it that I need to set boundaries and step back, or is it that I need to go to this person in love? And really confront this issue confront in love.
That's so good. Kind of goes back to the beginning of what you were talking about walking in humility and releasing control. Because if you're holding so tight that this friendship has to succeed at all costs and loyalty at all costs, you lose your head in it, I think, a little bit. Because then there's things that are off the table, and there needs to be an openness that I need to be able to address things.
And I think fear drives destructive relationships,
because
you're fearing that you're fearing of change. You have a fear of loss, a fear of rejection, a fear of losing power. But you think about 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. And really, 1 John, he's talking about that he is perfect love. And that when that's the center of the relationship, then, we can go to each other in love and confront these issues.
And don't you think, when you think about perfect love casts out fear, when the active pursuit of the Lord, you know, with or without you, whether you approve of me or not, he is my first love. And you pursue that intimate walk with him, he unearths different fears. And that's why I think that's what maturing is all about. It's like he sets the plow deeper. You're not the friend you were when you were 30 or when you were 20.
No.
And that is the beauty, because Jesus is your first love. You're more like him today than you were yesterday. And I think our friendships really can't grow to be all they were meant to be if he doesn't remain in that place.
Absolutely. And as women, so often we try to replace him with our female friendships, especially if our marriage is challenging, if we're in one of those seasons that are just hard at home with our husband, then we look outward and we want to have that physical person there. And there's times that the Lord does use our girlfriends as a physical manifestation of him, his arms and his hands and his feet. And we want that, but yet they can never be the replacement for him. He has to remain dead center in our hearts and to be our first love and to be our best friend.
So good. 877-933-2484. Talking to Erin Smalley. We're broadcasting live from the Focus on the Family studios, talking about how to cultivate drama-free friendships. Maybe you've got a question. You want to even be anonymous, you can feel free to do that. You can also email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So Maureen calls in. She says, I have a very close friend of at least 50 years. Lately, I've noticed a change in our friendship. It's almost a competitive edge between us, and it makes me not want to spend time with her. Is this typical? What can I do? And that's what I was talking about, where things evolve, things change. And so if you're locked in, locked on, you can't change with it. So what do you think about with Maureen's question? Good question.
You know, first of all, that has got to be really painful. 50 years of friendship. And I was talking with some younger ladies about this recently, that in this day and age, 50 years of friendship is really, really rare because we are such an impulse society. Well, if this relationship isn't working, you know, throw it away and I'll go on to this one. And that's not what we're talking about. 50 years is a long time. So that would be hurt a lot to sense a change. Yet there are seasons that change. I don't know if the friend is going through a season change, you know, a loss of a spouse, you know, a child that's having a hard time, a health issue, a move. There might be something else going on in this person's life. And that's why it's so important to ask. You know, I've noticed we've been friends for 50 years. I know you. You know, can you...
Where's this coming from? Well, we've got actually Maureen on the line, so maybe you can ask her some questions. Yes. Maureen, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, ladies. I'm so glad you're discussing this.
You know, it really is a topic that needs to be addressed because friendships are so close to our hearts. So I know Aaron's got a couple questions for you. Go ahead, Aaron.
So you've been friends for 50 years, and that's amazing. That is really, really amazing, first and foremost. So I'm sure if you're sensing a shift... That has got to be really painful.
It is.
Oh, we lost her. We've just had some little technical issues, but I appreciate what you said about just how tough that must be for her.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's
I also love what you said. If there's that much of an established history, then hopefully there's the safety to say, okay, something's changed.
Something's
happened.
Yeah, I sense this. I feel this when you said this, when you didn't return my call, you know, whatever it was, you know, just to be... To what we like to say, keep short accounts.
That's right.
To go to your sister and simply say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you and I've sensed a change. Is there something going on? Have I done something to bring offense?
Mm.
And you know, just putting it out there.
Yeah,
and she may say, no, not at all. But, you know, I have been really stressed recently and maybe that's what you're sensing.
And yeah, and sometimes you don't even know how you come across that you're competing and trying to win. Because I'm doing that all the time with the Smalleys.
Oh, boy, that's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, it's a different show. The important thing is that I am winning most of the time, right?
Yes. Oh, well, I don't know, Susie.
No, it's true. You're right.
Although you did climb a very large mountain yesterday, and we are yet to do that.
And you live here.
And we live here.
No,
so,
I
was just very impressed that you guys made it up and down with the altitude change.
Thank you. So anyway, so why don't you reiterate your first two, and then I'll hit my second one before we go to break. So your first one was?
To recognize that we all have dramatic and destructive tendencies within us, that
Excellent.
We're humans,
yep.
and that we can also be that dramatic friend.
Yeah.
Or the destructive
friend. Looking
friend.
At ourselves.
Yes,
and then
to evaluate ourselves. Then to recognize when a friendship has become destructive.
That's so good. And
just
that's
to look
Maureen's,
at it for what it is.
She's paying attention, just kind of noticing. And I love what Aaron said, Maureen, that maybe you could sit down starting with asking. Because I do think, too, at times because we're self-protecting, and maybe we've been burned before, I don't know who hasn't, at the first hint of mistrust, disloyalty shift, I think the reactionary response is to pull back and
put
not
a wall
check
up.
It out. Put a wall up and not check it out. And you know what? I love Anne Voskamp. She wrote the foreword of my book, and she received a scathing review from what I heard from a pretty prominent blogger, and he accused her book of being dangerous. And you know what she did? She extended a personal invitation for him to come have dinner with her family.
Oh, my. Wow.
And I just feel like that is such a picture of, you know, when things are shifting, I love what you said, to go back and go, okay, something must be going on here, because that's giving the benefit of the doubt. It's believing the best.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Absolutely.
So my second one comes out of Proverbs 12:14. Wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings rewards. And so my second component was wisdom and a backbone. And what I mean by that, the opposite of that would be foolishness and spinelessness. So you're reactionary, and you don't have the courage to say the hard thing. But wisdom and a backbone, to me, those are virtues in women that are worth more than gold, where you are really pressing again for the Lord, to get the mind of the Lord. You don't have pat answers and cliches. So you're with a friend. You're present with her. And you're just like, Lord, give me wisdom so I can give her a gift right from your hands, you know, rather than, you shouldn't feel that way. Or I went through something like this and this is what worked for me. You know what I mean? Where it becomes you're handing platitudes that, you know, where wisdom is seeking the mind of the Lord, but also a backbone to call you on the carpet and say, okay, you know, I know there you've got more in you than this in a loving way. But you know when that's someone's calling you up rather than beating you down. What are you going to say?
And is someone seeking the Lord, too? I mean, I know for me, there's times I'm sitting across from a friend and I have no idea what to say. Isn't it? I think as we age, we have less advice to give.
We know less.
I know for me, I am constantly saying, Lord, I mean, you know her better than I do. You know her heart. You know where the hurts are. You know where those areas that have been wounded, the lies that the enemy has spoken to her. And Lord, help me to be what she needs right now. Help me to respond in a way that's going to be helpful.
That is, to me, is humility grown with experience, because I don't know about you, but I see this in 20-somethings, mid-20s, early 30s, where when we get to that stage, we know just enough to be dangerous, and we become little Pharisees. I see where people, you know what your problem is, and you must be not doing the formula, doing the system, you know, because this plus this always equals this. And, and then you go through enough heartbreak when you kind of throw the formula out, and you go, I'm with you.
Yes. And that's, you know what, we were talking about that just before we came on about our kids, that just because you do A, B, C, D, E, and F right doesn't mean that your child will never rebel.
Exactly.
And that we are as capable of having that experience as anyone.
Absolutely. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, having a great conversation with my friend Aaron Smalley. We've got a couple of books to give away. Grown Up Girlfriends is Aaron's book, and mine is The Uncommon Woman. What do you think are some of the necessary components for a drama-free friendship? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Oh, so glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and that was not my voice. It was Aaron's.
Actually, the funny thing
sorry,
is...
I'm sorry, people like me.
Don't be jealous of me. The hilarious thing is I identified that clip right away because Mean Girls is my daughter's connect with that movie. And it's actually pretty sad because that is the culture that they are in, that why as young girls and even as adult women, I always say mean girls grow into mean adults, you know, that why is that our culture around relationships and friendships? What happened to protecting each other? And to thinking the best about each other.
Well, I mean, look at the media. I mean, you look at Facebook, you look at Twitter, you even look at news. News to me has turned into gossip because gossip is assigning motive and slamming somebody's character. I mean, rarely do you hear actual reporting in news anymore because it's so polarizing right now on separate issues, you know? And so all the way across the board, we are in a culture of assigning motives, ripping people apart that disagree with us. And so they're immersed in it. And then you've got shows that glorify good-looking, spoiled, you know, center-of-the-crowd girls dissing everybody else. And so how do they? I mean, I raised three boys. I can't even imagine, Aaron, what it's like to be raising three girls in this culture.
Well, I was laughing because I believe that you guys are doing a show on mothers and sons later on today. And we always said that we had two girls, then we had our son. We thought we were really great parents when the girls were little. And then little Garrison came along and he was all over the place and hitting and, you
throwing.
Know, using his body instead of his words, where the girls use their words. And but then as they've aged, I now have a 19-year-old daughter and a almost 16-year-old daughter. It's completely swapped in trying to help them navigate through this world where the girls can be cruel. Mm-hmm. Over the years, that's how it's been. But yet, I think in this day and age, like you're saying, there's so many different avenues to be cruel on.
Yep.
Without having to have face-to-face conversations.
That's right.
So, Twitter and Facebook and texting, you're just more willing to say things that you would mm-hmm. never say face to face.
Exactly. So anonymous caller says, my wife is wonderful, married 34 years. She doesn't really have any girlfriends. It seems to be a way of protecting herself from getting hurt. How can I, as a husband, encourage her? First of all, you're an amazing husband for mm-hmm. caring about that. But what else would you say, Erin?
That is amazing that a husband would pick up on that. Mm-hmm. But he's right. I mean, more than likely, his wife has been through some hurtful experiences in relationships. That authenticity in relationships sets you up as you're vulnerable mm-hmm. because you put your heart out there. You extend that most precious gift that you have, your heart, your soul, to someone else. And if it's stomped on, that's going to leave a bruise
yeah.
and a scar and a fear mm-hmm. and some walls and not a willingness to extend your heart again.
Yeah.
And, I would just encourage her, to reach out, maybe even making couple friends as a place to start. That if you as a husband have a man from church and you they're a great couple, maybe set up a double date. And go out and do it, in a way that's safe, that mm-hmm. you're there to protect her, to cover her in the midst of as she starts to extend her heart. Mm-hmm. And to also maybe have an honest conversation about what you're seeing. Iron sharpens iron. And I believe the Lord uses us to speak truth to each other, especially in that intimate relationship of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe have an honest conversation with her just to say, I see. And validate. You've been hurt.
Yeah. And I'm going to make sure she gets a copy. I'm always so good about giving Greg's books away on everyday relationships. Why stop here? I think she needs
grown-up girlfriends. Continue with the smallies.
Yes. I'm so generous with your stuff. But you got to have a copy of this because mm-hmm. this will help her really find that wisdom because mm-hmm. there are unhealthy friendships. And mm-hmm. and it's wise to be cautious in friendships.
Absolutely.
I've been burned so bad and I've mm-hmm. fallen down on my own friendships. It took me a while to get back in the water. And like mm-hmm. I said, I've got four girlfriends. One is two are mentors and two are just mutual girlfriends. And they all walk in the fear of the Lord. And one of them pursued me and she kept poking at me like, why won't you let me in? And I'm like, too much at stake for me. But she wouldn't leave me alone. She wasn't obnoxious, but she felt called. And she's one of my safest, dearest friends. And we've been in the trenches together. So it's not worth staying shut down forever. And
absolutely.
I just pray God will bring her some of those friends.
And that's even in the grown-up girlfriend book. There's a chapter in there on reaching out. That after we've been betrayed, that is awful. Mm-hmm. That can cut to the soul, to our soul, to the deepest part of our hearts. And to allow the Lord to do his thing to heal us, to forgive and not let a root of bitterness form or an unhealthy fear. And yes, it's good to be cautious, but when we start putting walls up, it separates us from what we were created to have.
That's right.
And that's relationship, specifically relationship with other friends, girlfriends.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's research out there that shows that mm-hmm. we were actually created to reach out to each other during times of stress.
Yeah, we need each other. The community piece is so, so huge.
We do.
And as you said, we sharpen each other and we mirror truth to each other. And so let's recap again our first 2 points before we move to three. So I said fear of the Lord is a number one component that your friend walks and that you walk in the fear and the pursuit of God. My second one was wisdom and a backbone. And I was basing that on Proverbs 12:14. Wise words bring many benefits. Hard work brings rewards. So in other words, just kind of a stick-to-itiveness, a backbone, and a pursuit of wisdom. And so your first two were what again?
That we recognize that we can be that dramatic
right.
friend
mm-hmm.
or the destructive friend, that we are human, and it keeps us humble.
Very much,
and we approach a relationship with humility. And then the second is to recognize when we are part of a destructive relationship and be willing to have a backbone
mm-hmm.
and to step up and to confront or to take a step back.
So good. So my third one is that they would be God's messenger. And Proverbs 13:17 says, an unreliable messenger stumbles into trouble, but a reliable messenger brings healing. And how many wars have started, marriages ended, businesses have crumbled because of an unreliable messenger, where something got lost in translation, and an unreliable messenger stumbles into trouble. But think about this, a reliable messenger brings healing. And to me, a reliable messenger, again, is the one going, I want to get the mind of the Lord for you. Whenever we go to our mentors, we go there once a month. We spend the whole way on our way praying that we would have the mind of the Lord for them. They pour so much into us that we always want to pour back. And so we're like, Lord, give us the mind of the Lord for these dear friends so that we can leave them as blessed as they're always leaving us. And I just love that where you press in. And we did that for you too, just on the way here, saying, Lord, help us bring a word of encouragement to our friends, Greg and Aaron. And I think there's something living and breathing about that.
That is such a gift, and it is such a rarity that it's so much easier to go to work, drive up your street, open up your garage door, pull in and shut the garage door and never take a step out and never truly experience that authentic intimacy of true heart connection and relationships. And we're called to that. We are not called to be intimate with everyone, but we're called to love one another.
So good. What's your number three?
Well, my number three goes kind of hand in hand with yours, and that's to create these drama-free friendships is to adopt healthy boundaries and have healthy communication. You think of the scripture, the tongue has the power of life or death, and truly that we can raise someone up or we can bring them right down, and it comes out of the same mouth. I mean, it just is really scary to know that we have that capability. Proverbs 4:23, we're called to guard our heart. And that's part of setting boundaries. You know, that this, how you're treating me, how you're talking to me is not okay. That is, in a sense, guarding our hearts, not putting a wall up. And then being willing to go back and communicate about it and to address what has gone on in this relationship. That is going to decrease the drama dramatically.
Yeah.
Because really we're keeping short accounts again, that we are addressing an issue, and that allows the friendship to flourish and allows a component that I really need in friendships. And I saw this on a Facebook comment is laughter. That laughter, you know, it's good for the heart and for the soul. And so if we're always focusing on, you know, if we're not addressing issues and we're letting walls build up and issues, you know, keep festering, you know, we're not going to get to that laughter and to that joy that as women we can cultivate with each other in such just amazing ways, in a way that I don't think anything else in life can bring.
And it makes it so sweet. As you're talking, I'm thinking about something that you and Greg often bring to the table regarding marriage. When you say, how do you show up? What do you show up with? I mean, how have you given it all away somewhere else? Are you showing up fatigued? Are you showing up kind of empty handed?
Right.
And then you're kind of draining on the relationship versus offering something to it. That really does apply here too, doesn't it? Because if you're so overcommitted to things maybe God's never asked you to do, you're showing up to your friendships fatigued. You are going to maybe be prickly at times and short.
We call it porcupine.
Exactly.
That they'll try to hug you, yet they won't
prickly.
Be able to.
And the thing about loving friendships is you can have a prickly day and they'll love you through it, but how are you showing up? And if you're showing up constantly depleted, your words will be sharp and not life-giving.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if you're showing up empty and also just not, because there's going to be times that they need you, and there are times that you need them. It's got to be reciprocated and back and forth. It can't always be about you.
Exactly.
Although, you know, sometimes it's nice.
Yeah, it is so nice.
To have it be about you.
I remember a friend said to me, very put together friend, in the worst parts of our crisis early on, and there was no covering up. It's almost like when you have the stomach flu, you can't make that look good. You have a sinus infection, take some DayQuil, blow dry your hair, put on some makeup. You can cover that up pretty good. Stomach flu, there ain't making
There's that. Nothing.
It's like, sorry, you know, burn the jammies after it's all said and done. But some people, sometimes your life looks like that, where you can't clean it up. I mean, you know, I was sick. My kids were in and out of the hospital. Our finances were a mess. It was clear that our life was in full-blown crisis. I couldn't clean it up. It was like I felt so exposed and vulnerable before a watching world. And this very put-together person said, I personally don't have any problems, but I can see that you have lots of them. So if you need anybody to talk to, you come and talk to me. And I'm like, okie dokie.
Yeah, I'll be right there. Yeah, there's something, though, about vulnerability.
That's
about,
right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We all have problems.
Exactly.
We all have them. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that scripture that talks about two is better than one, because when one falls down, the other is there to help put you back up.
That's so good.
And that's what we need to do is support each other and encourage each other
in
our daily walks.
And that goes back to one of the things you said at the beginning, that we all have a capacity for drama and that our lives can turn upside down. And and we got to be willing to be in the trenches. Mm-hmm. Don't confuse that. That's not what we're talking about. That's why we need God-fearing, holy friendships, because drama happens in life, you know.
Just last night, we were at a one-year-old birthday party. And how ironic is this? Everybody kind of left, but our close group of friends, they were all still there. And they knew that we had just been going through some challenges and trials. And literally, they just sat us down on this little bench and they prayed. Mm. And just prayed and prayed and prayed for us. That's what we have the opportunity to do, to give life, to offer life, to direct our eyes toward the Lord and to get our eyes on Him instead of and off of what the circumstance is.
Yeah, to be in the trenches. So when we're talking a drama, you know, a friendship that's marked by drama, it's the, you know, highly offendability. It's a high offendability, or it's picking each other apart, or it's not giving each other the benefit of the doubt. It's just going to somebody else before you go directly to the person. Those kinds of things where, and we just don't need to have time for those things. So anyway, how can I say this any other way? So I said, fear the Lord, wisdom and a backbone, being God's messenger. And my fourth one is having right priorities. And I love this verse, Proverbs 14:1, a wise woman builds her home, a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And so the opposite of that would be to be flaky with commitments, to be flaky with your commitments, especially at home. Because I think the best kind of friend is the woman who, again, fears God, and she has immovable priorities around her home life, because it cannot be on again, off again, because it will impact your friendship. And that's not a weight a friend is meant to carry. There's got to be that inner conviction in you. I am sticking with this marriage, and I'm hanging in there with these kids, even if they're losing their way. You know what I mean? And not that you're going to do it perfectly, but there's that inner core anchor that's like, my priorities are in the right order. And I think it's tricky if you've got somebody who's flaky in, in those kind of in and out of jobs, in and out of relationships. There is drama then. And so a stability is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even this plays out like when you see your friend's name pop up on your cell phone and, you know, you're kind of busy, but what's the priority? You know, is it what you're doing? I mean, there's times that you cannot answer the phone, but making sure that when you can, you answer that phone. And if you can't, you call them back and you follow up. That speaks to them. You are important and you take a priority in my day. We have lots of minutes in our day. Granted, we are all busy. We all have commitments, especially with, you know, being married and kids and church and all of our commitments. But really, it's relationships. They'll know that we are His disciples by our love.
Very good.
And that's what we're called to.
Excellent. Hey, if you just tuned in today, we've had a great conversation. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Aaron Smalley. We're actually broadcasting live from the Focus on the Family studios here at Colorado Springs, talking about what it means to cultivate drama-free friendships. It is possible. I'm telling you, it is possible. So we've been going through our 4 points, and I think, Aaron, you've got your fourth one yet to give.
I do. And we actually kind of covered this. It's nice because it's kind of coming around and finishing off with a nice little bow.
That's right.
Yes. Mine is to recognize that working through the drama, so not avoiding it, working through it and the pain and the disagreements, that it's going to grow us in the Lord. So we've talked lots about this, the Ephesians verse, and that this is going to mature us and that it's going to grow us and it's going to change us and mold us more into the image of Christ.
Oh, that's so good.
And that's what we're called to.
Well, in your book, Grown Up Girlfriends, you reference a quote by, I believe his name is Matthew Kelly, and you talk about these 7 levels of intimacy. And I want to just highlight these if I can before we wrap up in a little bit. Level 1 is we share cliches. Level 2 is we share facts. Level 3 is we share opinions. Level 4, we share hopes and dreams. Level 5, share feelings. Level 6, we share faults, fears, and failures. And 7 is we share our legitimate needs. Now, you kind of came up with this basket theory that these kind of can go in, but they're a little bit interchangeable as well. So explain your basket theory and how they relate to these levels of intimacy.
Oh, I love my basket.
I love your basket. So I wish I had bought your basket. And I want to, anyway.
Yeah, and women tend to really connect with the analogy because it's true. Not all friendships are created to be that deep, intimate level connection. Really, level 7, where we share a legitimate need. Not all relationships are going to grow into that. Some are, some aren't. And really what the baskets are, it's just an analogy and just a formula to kind of look at your relationships to know, to recognize that there are different purposes and different levels of intimacy in them. Basket number 3 are really those that we just share facts with. You know, we might talk about the weather. At one point in my life, it was the Sonic lady. I told that story last time that I literally every time I pulled into my stall, she knew exactly what I wanted. I wanted my Diet Coke, and she brought it out.
And
she
that's a relationship.
She
right
was
there.
Very consistent. But, you know, there are times when the Holy Spirit prompts us to go deeper with that type of friendship, a basket number three. You know, there are times that I could tell that Carolyn was having a hard day. And, you know, to say, Carolyn, you doing okay? You know, can I pray with you? That's an intimate thing.
Yeah. And, you know, that just happened, which is so amazing. We had lunch, you and I and Kevin and Greg, and we're at a restaurant, and our server had to leave early because of a little crisis at school. And Greg just says, you know, we don't need to know what's going on, but can we pray? And she said, I'm a Christian. I would love that. And it was just like moving past that. And what I love about that, Erin, is because you were saying before the show that sometimes we can get into our personal definitions and boundaries and serve them versus serve God in them. So explain what you mean about that, you know, serving the boundary versus serving the Lord in these friendships.
That often when someone would hear an analogy like this, you know, basket three, basket two, basket one, that there are these hard, fast, concrete walls.
So I don't do that with you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not going to bring you a meal, Susie, because I don't have that level of friendship with you when, you know, you've been sick and your husband has been sick and your family has been sick. No. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, do it. Be obedient. And it was today at the table that, you know, this woman is coming up to our table saying, I've got to leave. I've got a crisis with my son. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit prompted Greg. Actually, he prompted me and I kicked him under the table.
Well, you two are one, so it doesn't
matter. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, but the Holy Spirit uses us in each other's life, right? And he prayed with her. What a gift. What a gift. But if he would have said, no, she's a stranger, I don't pray with strangers, you know, that we miss out.
That's right.
We miss out on that blessing as well as them. So just to let the Holy Spirit prompt us, regardless of what the level of intimacy in the friendship is. However, you know, it's a little awkward if you're, you know, checking out in the grocery store and you're sharing all your marital issues with the lady checking you out, you know,
right.
That there's those safe places, those safe havens that we can offer the pearls of our heart to others. So basket three is, you know, we share facts. Basket number two, our good friends, a little bit deeper level of intimacy. So we're sharing, you know, our opinions and our concerns. So it's a little bit deeper. And then basket number one is that deep, those deep soul connections. And there's only about 1 to 4 really that women that fit into that category, and they come and they go. And that's what I love about the baskets is that it's a life, you know, relationships are alive. They shift, they change, they mold, you know, seasons change. And with that, these relationships shift as well. Yes, it's a loss when you lose one of those basket number one relationships. Yet God so often will surprise you and replace that slot in your life, in your heart, with one or another one, or maybe that one will come back.
Yeah.
You know, they shift. It's a live system.
Would you say, like, the people that are in basket two, would you say they're there mostly because it's a safety issue? Like, maybe I feel like I can get this far with you, but no more. Or is there a common reason that a person would be relegated to that level of friendship?
I would say that often, for me, my experience has been that just busy, that I'm so busy that I don't have time, because to go deep, to grow those basket number one friendships, it takes time and it takes commitment. And we have to be very intentional to do that, to build those. I would say we've lived in Colorado we're going on 2 years, and I've done very well growing basket number two friendships. You know, we can go deep, but it's not a consistent level of intimacy. And I will own that fully, because it takes so much time and I have not put the priority in the time into building those friendships.
Well, it is a massive transition to move into a different state, take on a new job, trying to cultivate friendships. I mean, there's so much to that I would believe that would take, you know,
years.
At this stage of life, it would take some time.
It takes time. But the great news is your basket number of friends don't have to live next door.
Exactly.
They can. I have a dear friend in Kentucky. We've been friends for almost 20 years. And I last week, I just had this awful week and literally called her one day when my daughter was in the emergency room. And ironically, I was talking to her on the cell phone when I had a car accident later in the week. I'm like, Lisa, oh my goodness. It's amazing how God gives us these moments together.
No. Well, you heard me say this before, and a friend said this to me, and I thought it was brilliant. She said, I never get excited about a new friendship until we've had our first conflict, because then I know what the friendship is made of. And I think sometimes that would be why a friend maybe lands in basket two, or you've tried and tried maybe to push it further, and they're like, oh, you shouldn't feel that way, or they're not very teachable, or they get rigid, and you kind of go, I'm going to try this a few times, and if I can't get to that deeper place, there's so many things I love about you, and we can do life at this level.
Absolutely.
But would you say that's
absolutely. Yes, I would say definitely there are times that that is the reason that the person just is maybe not capable. They're not able to go to the those deeper places. And you know what? Not all all friendships weren't created to be the same. Different purposes, different seasons, different changes. I mean, so it just is embracing what is that friend supposed to be?
Yeah.
And praying about what is it? How? What's the purpose? What am I supposed to be doing in her life? What is she doing in mine?
That's so good. Well, as we get ready to wrap up, you know, I'm thinking about fear is so often, as you were saying, it just drives some of our reactions and our decisions. And how do we live free? You know, I've used this quote before, too, and I think it's amazing. Lisa Turker said, there's friends for seasons, friends for reasons, and friends for life. And I love that because there are reasons certain paths intersect. God has a purpose in it, and it is what it is. You know, then there's seasons that they come and then they go, and then there's those life friends. But I think as if we're trying to force the baskets, as you say, or in fear, we think, if this fails, it's rejection and an indictment on me. Those are all things that make friendships, I would think, unhealthy because you're hanging on too tight. You're self-protecting or you're walking in the fear of man. What's some advice you could give somebody listening today so that they could walk in the fear of the Lord in a certain measure of freedom where I'm going to love you, I'm going to take risks with you, but even whether this succeeds or fails, it doesn't define my identity. How do they do that?
And I love what you said earlier, holding them with an open hand. Truly just holding them before the Lord with an open hand, because as we do try to take control, you know, we get this fist and it's takes life out of relationships because it chokes off really life, oxygen, you know, going to that relationship. So just to hold them very loosely, give them to the Lord and pray, seek him, be on your knees. If there's an issue with someone, you know, pray about what the Lord would have you to do. Would he have you go and talk with them and share your feelings, your heart? Or is it a season change? Is there a reason that this relationship is changing and go and seek to understand?
You know, I can never help myself because everything's a fitness analogy to me. But in cycle, if you cling to the handlebars too tight, you have an unhealthy increase in your heartbeat and your blood pressure. And so it's bad. It's like your heart rate will jump up. And so you always have to keep your grip loose so that you keep a steady. So you're getting a healthy reading of your heart and your heart can just respond to the exercise and not the stress of the grip. But also, if you're holding loosely and you hit bumps in the road, you have some shock in those elbows so that you can adjust. Or if you're clinging and you hit a bump, it'll throw you. Now you think about that. I mean, really, I just came up with that on my own just now.
It was the Lord speaking. Yeah, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
I'm so quick to take credit from the Lord. But anyway, no, but that is such a good picture when you think about it, that if we hold loosely, that we can respond to the bumps without them completely throwing them off.
And I just encourage you out there, if you've been through heartbreak in relationships and you've had drama and, you know, destruction, just to continue to let the Lord heal your heart, heal the pain. And because we were created to be in relationship with each other. And it's amazing to me what an army of women can accomplish and the support that we can bring to one another. And I encourage you to forgive. Don't let the root of bitterness take root in your heart, and then to start reaching out again and to trust that the Lord has you, that he is going to take you to places and into relationships that are going to glorify. It's going to grow you into more of his image.
So beautiful. Well, this has been a powerful conversation. We just have a little bit of time left. Wondering if you could say just a quick prayer for somebody who's like the anonymous caller, that someone who needs to take risks again. God wants to bless them with a friend.
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, we just come before you and ask you that you just speak to our hearts about how you'd have us reach out, Lord, whether it's at a deep level of intimacy or even just a neighbor who needs a physical need met. Lord, help us to be your hands and feet to each other. Help us to not put walls up and to go into self-protection mode, just to reach out when we are prompted by you and to be intentional in building healthy, God-giving relationships and friendships. We just trust you, Lord, and thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Erin, it is always a delight to have you on the show.
Thank you. You're wonderful. I felt like I just had coffee with an old friend.
Excellent. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I want you to tune in tomorrow. I'll be talking to friend of Faith Radio, financial expert Brian Kluth, about what it means to experience God as your provider. We'll meet you back here tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.